Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to talk to Mike Boddicker and then Gary Lezak. Matt Beasler will be on the show and also Greg Gurley. And we'll play the Marcus Peters interview on NFL Network, all 6 minutes of it, a little bit later. Maybe like it, I don't know, 7:30, 7:35, 7:36, 7:37 coming out of the sky. Hi, Mike Boddicker.
Hey, what's up?
You? It's 7 a.m. to talk to us?
Yes. Well, I've been up for about an hour and a half, so.
What did you do? What have you done so far in this 90 minutes before talking to us?
Well, I had to run over and babysit. I'm waiting for my granddaughter to get up. My wife went to the other daughter's place to babysit, so we're kind of shuttling back and forth here. Actually, I did some taxes this morning.
How's that coming along? Are you close to being done? Or
yes, real close.
Jake wants to know if you'd like to do his taxes.
No.
Okay. Please.
My taxes are nuts. I get way too many things all over the place, so it takes a while to organize. Right.
Jake said he has some deductions he'd like you to take a look at.
Right.
So I don't know what that means.
Oh, I bet. I bet he does.
Some nuts.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
So what have you been up to?
Well,
just business?
We've been talking about Marcus Peters nonstop.
Yeah. It's just business.
Right. It is just business.
It's just business.
You know what? That's what you've always said. Every day you tell me that.
I think he took that from you, actually, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Marcus Peters says. As Mike Boddicker once said, it's just business. And so I don't know if you heard that part.
That's right. I did. I heard it all. I listen.
What do you think?
This has been planned since last year. That's what I think. So, since the end of last year, I don't know. I don't know the particulars. I don't know if they've given us all the particulars on Marcus Peters, but I know it seems like we didn't get enough for him. But there's a method to their madness. So. As long as things work out.
And all those things are true. He's a hell of a football player.
Yes.
The Chiefs didn't get enough for him, but it's pretty clear that this divorce had to happen for both sides to be happy.
I agree. I think it worked out. It's going to work out great for both sides. And I know there's a lot of Chiefs fans in Kansas City that aren't real happy that he is gone, especially for what we got for him. But
and like with any divorce, who's caught in the middle and who's the loser? The kids.
The kids
are the fans.
See? Yeah.
Just remember, kids, it's not your fault.
We wanted mom and dad to.
We are the kids.
It's kind of some of the kids' fault.
Yeah.
That's what they always told us back in divorce counseling when I was a kid. It's not your fault.
Yeah, right. Well, the fans. No. Yeah. No, I mean, like, my dad told me, like, when him and my mom were getting a divorce, he said, this is basically your fault, Stephen. And so I said, well, thanks for being honest with me.
See?
You're 13 years old, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of this is your fault. I'm like, well,
Well, now that
I'm going to deal with this, I can move on as a young teen and try to figure out my next move.
See, I was so oblivious that I didn't even consider the fact that it could have been my fault.
Right.
But then they made me go to counseling every week, and the counselor kept saying, you need to understand, this isn't your fault. Like, why does everyone keep saying that?
Why don't you tell my parents that?
Why does everyone keep saying that? Now I start to think that maybe it is my fault.
Yeah, because I don't know what it was. I saw like some TV show.
That didn't even dawn on me, that possibility.
I saw like some TV show where the kid said, is this my fault? And like the dad, like, no, it's my fault from this, not your fault. Don't ever say that. And so I was looking for a little bit of extra sympathy. So I'm going to use that line. The next time my dad's yelling at me or something, I said, Is this all my fault? And he looks at you.
Damn well, right.
A lot of it's your fault. I mean, you're for the most part, yes.
I'm like, wait a minute. Your dad. We need some jailhouse nuts,
Joe. That's not how it happened on TV. Moving forward, though, let's talk baseball, Mike Boddicker, if you please.
Yeah.
The
Royals are 2-0-1.
Zebby fired up?
How about those Royals?
Are you fired up for that?
Not particularly. It's spring training. It's,
Cactus League champs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really early, too. So everybody's playing a couple innings and getting the hell out, and you're getting a lot of people that I thought I knew a lot of the minor leaguers. There's guys here I don't even – they start naming off names, and I'm going, "What? Who the heck is that?" You know, that's – I guess they brought in a bunch of people, but I guess I'm not up to par for everybody that's on the roster here. I need to do a little bit more research, I guess.
Well, they did bring a guy in that most people have heard of, which was refreshing, Michael Saunders, who had a tough year last year. But he was an all-star in 2016, 31 years old, and he's always been recognized as a guy that had good talent, but just hasn't been able to put it together or stay healthy. A couple of days before he signed with the Royals, he had signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates, or agreed to with the Pittsburgh Pirates to come to camp, and then they traded for Corey Dickerson, and so they did him a solid because the opportunity that was there when he signed with them then disappeared, and so they let him go and let him sign with another team where he could perhaps make the club, and that ends up as the Kansas City Royals. He's a left-handed hitter. The Royals are kind of right-handed heavy.
Yes, they are.
But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe trying to get a reclamation project, a left-handed hitter that he's had some hot halves before. I mean, he had a tremendously hot start to the 2016 season. That's why he was in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Maybe try to rebuild him and flip him, something like that, Mike?
Well, you know what? If he's – I you kind of hit the nail on the head right earlier about healthy. That's generally when you get guys who are very talented and had some success, there's some health issues involved. And if you get them healthy, yeah, I mean, you look at what we did with Raul Ibanez. I mean, he was a reclamation project, and he was one of our best players for a while. So, yeah, you don't know. You don't know what can happen. I mean, overall, you're hoping that Dayton can hit or catch lightning in a bottle of a few of these players, and we'll be competitive. I mean, we just need to be competitive and allow these young players to progress and see what you got, really. I mean, can they play in the big leagues? We don't know. We really don't. Until they get a full year under their belt of, you know, 500 at-bats or enough innings, you don't know what you got. So basically that's what they're looking at right now. And like Ned said, you know, I want to see all these kids. I want to see what they can do and see how they handle themselves. So, yeah, it's an audition right now.
I mean, as recently as 2016, like I said, he had an .815 OPS and hit 24 homers. If Alex Gordon did either one of those things this year, we would be high-fiving.
You'd be doing cartwheels, Steven.
Right. Well, you know what? There's nothing that Alex Gordon could do that could force me to do cartwheels. There's nothing that anyone could do because I don't think that physically I could ever do that.
I'd pay to see
Nate, Nate and I will help you.
Yeah.
We'll help you.
Yeah.
We'll help you make that turn.
That's right.
Mike, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to land on you. I respect you too much.
It doesn't matter. I have no feeling left in my body, so we're good.
Yeah. Total numbness.
Yeah, total numbness.
So yesterday in their Cactus League game, we got to see Whit Merrifield playing a little center field.
Center field, and that's exactly what I can see that happening. And, I mean, that's kind of what I pictured. I'm sitting there, Mondesi, you know, he's got a hot start here. He's changed his swing. Looks pretty good. I mean, you know, defensively, he's very good, so... And with the speed, I mean, he could play some second base and put Witt out in center field. And you got a lot of speed in the team, and you got I could see that happening.
Well, and for those that wonder, Whit Merrifield started his minor league career playing a lot of center field. And in college at South Carolina, he was a center fielder that got moved off of that spot because a guy by the name of Jackie Bradley Jr., was recruited behind him and pushed him off of center field. So that's not necessarily any damning commentary against Whit Merrifield's ability to play center. Do you like that idea? Do you like that idea?
I do.
If if they could work it out with Mondesi playing second base?
I do. If Mondesi can hit, just, I mean, he finished strong last year in AAA. I mean, it's not like this is all of a sudden. So, and just listening to his interview, he sounds like he feels comfortable with his new change of approach and in style of hitting. You know, I love it when a guy says, you know what, I'm not going to be able to play in the big leagues the way it is. I need to do something different. He works all winter long to make the change, and right out of the gate, he's starting to swing the bat better. So I like it, and I like Witt in center field. I mean, he played left field some last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like he's a stranger to the outfield, like you said. So, you know, it might take him a little bit to get back into the swing of the outfield, but, I mean, he's got all spring training to do it. And that allows another young player to play.
So let's stick with Mondesi and retooling his swing, opening up his stance a little bit more. Mm-hmm. For those that didn't hear, here are some of the comments from Mondesi yesterday talking about what he did in the offseason.
Change my stance, you know, and the way that I think hitting is different to help me. And, you know, just go up there and do my best.
How do you change your stance? Are you more closed? You more open?
More open.
More open?
Yeah.
From both sides?
Yes.
What does that allow you to do? Open your hips a little bit faster?
No, you know, I can see the ball better. You know, I don't have that much of movement. You know, I stay short to the ball and, you know, just keep working every day.
You feel pretty comfortable doing
this? Yes.
Was that your decision or did someone?
My decision, yeah. You know, I got some guy that I work in Dominican too. They helped me, but, you know, I was the one to say I want to change and everything. And now I'm, you know, ready and just keep playing.
Obviously, you still have as much power with that open stance too, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm not looking for that, you know. I just want to put the ball in play and
hit line drives, right?
Yeah.
How often were
Okay, so I think that's enough to go on because I find that to be very interesting. You've got, you know, essentially the Royals' top prospect still.
Mm-hmm.
22 years old. When you hear that, Mike, what's your reaction? Are you positive and you're like
yeah, I am
okay.
Positive.
He's trying to do something. He's working at his craft, or is that an alarm bell? Like, wow, he's already having to retool his swing. He's 22, and this is a desperate move.
No, I don't think it's a desperate move. I think it's a kid saying, you know what. I'm not going to be able to compete at the big league level with this swing. And when you look at the times he's been here and he's been overmatched and maybe he wasn't picking up the ball. Maybe he wasn't, you know, if you're closed off a little bit, you're getting basically one eye to the ball coming in, open up a little bit, see it better. Maybe he just said, you know what? I want to hit at the big league level. If I'm going to be there, I want to hit at the big league level and I got to do something different. Because I can't do it the way it is.
So how does that work with the Royals? He said it was his decision. Does he have to clear that with him, or can he just go to the Dominican Republic and retool a swing, work with a different coach, and not and the Royals have no say in that? How does that work?
Basically, you know, once the offseason hits, you're kind of on your own. So I can't imagine he called the Royals and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I think he did it on his own, and basically, if you come to camp and they didn't like it, they would say something, but and go back to where he was. But I don't think they want him where he was. I think they want him to be a more productive hitter. And if they see it and see that he's comfortable and short to the ball and doing everything he said he was doing, I'd have no problem with that as a hitting coach.
I mean, I like it. I'm glad that the kids, you know, because you see and you know this. As well as anyone, a lot of kids with all this talent sometimes don't have the work ethic or don't understand early enough that, you know what, I've got to make adjustments. I do have to do something different. And that's a sign to me of maturity and growth if you come to that realization, like, okay, I just can't be the better athlete than anybody else on the field because that's not good enough to make it in the majors. I have to make adjustments to my swing, and I think I'm glad that he realizes that and is putting the work necessary to make it happen.
No, I'm glad too. And they asked him, you know, you're hitting 3-4 times a week. No, every day, he's doing it. I mean, he's in order to, it's like a golf swing. If you don't do it all the time, you're not going to get good at it. You have to do it every day, every day. Hit, hit, hit. So there's no question about his defensive skills, his speed. I mean, he's got tons of tools, very athletic. It was just a matter of can he hit in the big leagues. And the thing is, I hope he doesn't give up on his bunting. He's a good bunter. There's a lot of upside to him. He changed his swing and he changed his name. So it's a different person.
Well, you know, I go back to when he hired Kevin Seitzer to overhaul his swing the entire offseason, and then that next year he went out and hit 300. You know, I mean, it might not have been the exact approach that the Royals would have used, but at the end of the day, when you get to the big leagues, it's about production. You know, I don't think the Royals are too hell-bent on you do it a certain way. It's you do it a way that's going to produce at the big league level. If you do that, we won't have any problem with it.
Every person is different. Everybody has a right. different swing. Everybody has a different way they throw. You can't, you know, just cookie cutter a player. It doesn't work that way. And you look at Hunter Pence's swing, and you never teach a kid to hit that way. Guy hits. Bottom line is he hits. Leave him alone. If he hits, leave him alone. And the reason I like this is through the minor leagues, and I was a sinker slider pitcher, and I was getting nowhere, and I thought, you know what? And Steve Stone won the Cy Young the year before, won 25 games, and he had a nice curveball. I said, I'm going to teach myself the curveball in AAA. And I went, and we had no pitching coaches in AAA then. It was just basically older players trying to help you out. So I started working on throwing the curveball, and I got my lunch the first half of the year. And I'd been pretty successful, but Jim Palmer had a big curveball. Storm Davis blew by me, had a curveball. Steve Stone won the Cy Young, had a curveball. Mike Flanagan had a curveball. McGregor had a curveball. And so I taught myself the curveball in AAA. And I got hammered the first half of the year, and all of a sudden it clicked. And Scott, you know, the head guy, minor league guy, came into town and went, "Whoa, he's got a curveball!" And I was throwing it very well, but it was self taught, and I just kept doing it, and they didn't say a word about it. They were just everything was okay. So sometimes you got to change. Make it better.
Mike Boddicker is our guest. And so with what Nate said and with Merrifield going to center field, or at least playing in center field yesterday, and Mondesi off to a hot start, what's your gut tell you? Do you think we're looking at a real shot here that the Royals break camp with Mondesi on the big league club and Whit Merrifield either plays center field or starts to take to that super utility role that the Royals have mentioned in the past?
We can't, you know what? That's exactly what I see. But right now, I don't know if you can have Whit Merrifield as a utility guy. He's one of our three best players. You got to have him in the lineup and hope, I don't know, maybe bounce him around, but I'd rather see him in center field.
Like a Ben Zobrist kind of guy.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see him in center field to get consistent there. If you're going to do it, put him out there and leave him out there for a while.
I'd rather see him out there than Paolo Orlando.
So would I. So would I. And Paolo's done a nice job, but, I mean, he gets after so long, he gets exposed. Whit will not get exposed, and hopefully you need to see a 22-year-old playing every day. So I like that, and I'm hoping that's how they break camp. We'll see. You don't know. Somebody might emerge that we don't even know. But right now, that would be my pick.
I guess the only question I have is, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, is would Mondesi be the better long-term fit in center field than Merrifield because he's faster?
Yeah, he's a little faster. But will he get as good a break to the balls? Can he read it as well? Whit's been out there before. He knows what it's like to be in the outfield. That'd be a tough change for the kid, but
well,
I don't know. That's their call. I mean, I want the kid to play every day and see what he can do.
If they see, if they see Mondesi as the long-term shortstop someday,
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably rather keep him at second base then, because then he's at least
still
getting...
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Right?
Yep. I think that's what they have in their minds. So why would you stick him out there for a year and then run him back into the infield? What could handle it much easier right now? And it's not like you're losing a lot of speed. I mean, Witt's got some speed, so I think he can handle the job.
Okay, I've been looking at a couple of different over-under totals for the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Bovada has them at 71.5. What would you do if you were in Vegas, Mike?
Well, we're not going to lose 100 games this year. So I'd say 73 to 75, maybe more. It depends on who emerges. And my concern, like I said before, last week, was the bullpen. The bullpen, somebody, you know, if they, some of those guys step up and they can do the job, you know, we'll be fine. Because I think the starters will get us into the fifth or sixth inning pretty consistent. Close. It's just a matter of the bullpen. And can we score enough runs to get some wins? So, I mean, it's a guessing game. I mean, you look at the rest of the teams in our division, and, you know, my concern is the White Sox. I think they're going to be very good this year. That's a team that kind of stands out for me. I think they're going to be pretty darn good. But, you know, we can wish and hope and everything else, but it's got to be done on the field. And the bottom line is, it's still fun to watch them play, no matter who's out there. So we'll be all right.
Especially the White Sox could be dangerous when they sign Mike Moustakas.
Stop it.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen. So... there'll be some guys getting signed here in the next couple of weeks, I think. They want to get them in the fold and get them ready for the season. So I think we'll see some action in the next couple of weeks with some of these free agents that haven't been signed yet.
I'm good with Moose signing with the White Sox as long as it's a multi-year deal over $50 million.
That would be nice.
Then great.
If we can nice. Draft. Steven, you're assuming that we can make a good pick again.
Well, I'd rather have the pick than not have it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You know, I mean, there's no way they'll get a good player if they don't have a pick, but if they get the pick,
that's exactly right.
You know, maybe hell, we could blindfold Jake and just have him point at something, and there's at least a shot the guy would be good.
Hey, Jake would make a good scout.
Would he?
Yeah, I think
so. Give me some reasons why you say that. Why?
Well, he likes to sit around a lot.
That's true.
True.
People and
yeah,
he loves road trips. He loves the road.
He loves road trips, and you know. All they're looking for is tools.
Do you have to be a people person?
No.
Because he's not a people person.
I hate people. They're the worst.
So he can just sit by himself.
That's right.
You know, with his notebook and maybe his radar gun up
and his stopwatch, and he's good to go.
So he
can
get out
on the
road.
Put me in front of some people to maybe coordinate?
He didn't have to speak to anyone. He just
sounds like a
down.
Dream job.
Jake wants to cover the territory of Colorado.
Right.
He just, yeah.
Oh, yep. No, another prospect out in Denver. Sorry, guys. Got to go.
Yeah, Jake, there's actually no prospects out there for you looking.
Nope.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Be back in a week.
Where's my radar gun?
It's the middle of February. Yes. There's no baseball being played out there.
That's what you think.
No, he's watching take batting practice in the cages. No, he'd be a good scout. He knows talent.
Look, the point is, those draft picks are not just draft picks. They're extra money that can be spent on draft picks. For every draft pick you get an allotment of money you can spend, and you can choose to spend that money wherever you want within the draft. So it just it gives you it, and that's where the Royals built their farm system, was by spending money in the draft. So back then there was nobody to stop; they could spend as much money as they wanted. Now you got to have a lot of draft picks to be able to spend a lot of money. So.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll hit on their high rounds. That's what we need. We need that Moustakas Hosmer draft back to back. So that would be nice.
Well, Mike Boddicker, thank you very much for taking time out of babysitting to talk a little baseball with us. We appreciate
I'm really
it.
Not babysitting. I'm waiting for the girl to get up. She's lazy bones today. My granddaughter's sleeping in.
You make her breakfast?
Yeah, I'm making her breakfast. Of course I am.
What do you make? Give me an idea here.
Well, some scrambled eggs and maybe a little bit of toast and some yogurt. That's what she likes.
Would you make Jake that meal if he came over?
I could use some eggs now.
You know what? I might make her some French toast, too. I don't know. I made French toast for the grandsons yesterday.
Too many carbs for me.
I like that, Mike Boddicker.
I haven't eaten since Sunday.
Well, I got some hard-boiled eggs, too, Jake, that you'd probably like.
Yeah, I'd eat those.
Yeah.
Mike, before we let you go, one final question, because I know that obviously you're known as an outdoorsman.
Yes.
And I feel like you're no stranger to an ATV.
No. The guy riding the ATV out by Worlds of Fun?
Yeah, I mean,
you seem to know a lot about it, Bob.
Have you?
Oh, sure. A good naked run on an ATV, they can't beat it.
Now, where did this take place? Could you give us some more info, please?
I don't think I've ever been naked on an ATV. I've been in shorts before. Yeah, but never. No, I don't think I've been. That would have been quite a sight, wouldn't it?
Well, it was quite a sight for Northlanders, and I mean, this guy was cruising down past Worlds of Fun,
going the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah. That
How do you know where he was going?
Right.
I saw a TV video. I saw the Worlds of Fun rides, and I just assumed that he was going in there, but he bypassed it. So
the question I have for you. Mm-hmm. Is they talked to the owner. The owner found out because he learned that his ATV was stolen, so he called to report it. And I think the police dispatcher started laughing when he described it.
Yes.
And he said, "Hey, what's going on?" And she says, "Well, we found your ATV. Let me go ahead and tell you where it's at.
You might want to wash it."
And so, right. And so he said, "Obviously, it's there's been some damage." If that's your ATV, Mike Boddicker, that was stolen, would you continue to own that ATV, or would that have to, would you have to go ahead and maybe sell that or trade that one out?
No, I'd put it on Craigslist or eBay. Right. I mean, this is all over the country is picking this up. So, you know, there's crazy people out there who buy a feather for $100. So, yeah, I'd probably put it up for sale.
But you wouldn't keep it.
Depends how much damage.
You'd be done with it. Well, I mean, you know, there's probably some damage to the seat, I would imagine.
Well,
you know,
that seat can be washed. That's all vinyl.
Not sure that could be.
That's no big deal. It's just I thought they said he crashed it down by Old Sam's casino someplace. So it depends on the damage. Mm-hmm. If no damage, I'd keep it.
Are you
no problem?
Are you surprised that the man was suspected of being under the influence of drugs?
That's a shocker.
Right.
Yeah, that really threw me for a loop right there.
Wasn't
the best part, they interviewed his ex girlfriend, and she goes, "He's been known to use drugs before." So,
no.
Yeah, you think?
Well,
no, that would have been quite a sight, wouldn't it?
Jake wants to know if he could borrow your ATV. By the way.
Okay. Yes, anytime he wants to go naked, I got it right behind the house here. We'll hook him up.
Okay. We were concerned because he wasn't here, and we didn't know where he was, and we were wondering if he came back to Kansas City early and didn't tell us. I tell you what,
I always give my grandkids rides in the ATV, and I've had them naked on it before.
Wow.
But I can't say I've ever done that. That might be something to try. I don't think the people over at where I live would probably like that.
Can you let us know beforehand? Just, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can do some filming.
We can send Kyle out there with Facebook Live and
sure.
really get some likes on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. I think that would help the channel a lot.
You would probably get a lot of hits right there, yeah.
Well, Mike Boddicker, thank you. We appreciate the time.
All right, Steve. You guys have a good one. I'm heading to Arizona tomorrow, so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You want a surprise?
I might be surprised.
Yeah.
You never know. No, I think we're going to go to a game when they're over in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. So my brother-in-law's, we're going down. So
enjoy your trip, Mike.
All right, man.
That is the one and only Mike Boddicker. Yeah. I mean, there was so much news yesterday. There's a lot of things we didn't talk about, like, as much as we should have. The naked man leading police on an ATV in the Northland. We missed Nature Boy Ric Flair's 69th birthday, which, boy, that's a
milestone.
That's a celebration you can't miss. So
he sent out a tweet thanking everybody for the birthday wishes.
Would you keep the ATV if you got a bag? It's still running. I mean, he was on that thing for an hour, you know.
I mean, I would definitely take it by that car wash that Danny Klingscale goes to.
I don't think that would work.
You know, wash it down real good, thoroughly, as one might say.
Jake, keep the ATV, or do you have to part ways with it after that?
Oh, no, the ATV, just wipe it down.
Mm-hmm. Get some disinfectant wipes.
Tell you what, that guy was driving up and down 435. He took a lot of balls for him to do that. Mm-hmm. Not necessary.
Said he was gone in a flash.
Yeah. I bet they were after an hour on that ATV. Yeah. I bet he really was numb nuts.
Oh, right.
You know? I mean, that's not easy. Chafing involved? I don't. Have I ever told you how much I love Kansas City?
We're due for a break.
Oh, it's an interesting town.
Back after this on WHB.